Very encouraging to see everyone gathered here today like this. It's wonderful to be together as God's people. I'm going to ask us to keep Romans open. We're looking really just at one verse, but we might look around a little bit left and right to understand it. It takes us to the very center of what we're about. It explains to us the vision, not our 2030 vision here at St. Thomas's, but God's vision, which is much bigger than ours, and into which ours plays just a small part. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we'll begin. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." We thank you, our Father, for your word to us, the gospel. These words about your Son Jesus, who is Lord, these words which have changed us, have changed the world, and behind which our lives are to align. And we pray that you would help us as we hear these words this morning to do that very thing. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I've got a pop quiz for us to start for the history buffs. And I've got three dates for us. And I'm actually going to ask us to turn to our neighbours and see if you can work out what the answer is. What is the significance of these three dates? 14th of July, 1789. 14th of July, 1789. 1st of October, no cheating. No talking yet. Gosh. 1st of October, 1949. 1st of October, 1949. 1st of February, 1979. Should I give it again? 14th of July, 1789, 1st of October, 1949, 1st of February, 1979. Wow, they all have nines. Go for it. 30 seconds, 20 seconds. Okay, I think we've had enough time. Who's confident to give a go at the first one? Bastille Day, very, very important. Thank you very much. Luke's father, excellent. The storming of the Bastille leading to the overthrow of the French monarchy, the establishment of the Republic, and eventually rule by that great little man, Napoleon. October the 1st, 1949. First to answer. No. Anthony. People's Republic of China. Very significant. Yes, the victory of the Communist Party led by Mao Zedong in the Civil War with the Nationalists led by Chiang Kai-shek and the establishment of the People's Republic of China, which has changed the face of the world. Final date, the 1st of February, a bit harder this one, 1st of February 1979. Yes, Richard? Absolutely correct, yes. The overthrow of the Ayatollah, the ruler Khomeini returned to Iran and became the head of the Islamic Republic, overthrowing the monarchy, rather. Sorry, so it was the overthrow of the monarchy, the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which has had enormous impact. Well, very good. Well done on our history. We've spoken about just now, and we've thought about momentous news of regime change. Moments in history, dates in history, which changed the lives of those in those countries and beyond because of regime change. There is, of course, however, for Christians, in fact for the whole world, another date which stands head and shoulders, mountains above. A moment of momentous news, of very, very significant regime change that has impacted the lives of people all down the ages, whether or not we know it, which is Easter Day, Easter Sunday, 33 AD. Momentous news of regime change that impacts the lives of every single human being. That is the gospel. The gospel, which is that momentous news of God's Son being installed as God's King over God's new kingdom, an epoch-changing, world history-shifting, a turning point that affects every single human being, that makes our small and, in the end, rather insignificant aims and dreams and projects pale into insignificance. For this is the moment in history, and this is the momentous news that we all need to hear, that changes everything. This is Vision Sunday, and we want to see what is God's vision. God's vision centers around his Son, and it centers around this news, this gospel, this news that Jesus is the Lord. You might have read the news this morning as you woke up, all sorts of different pieces of sometimes shocking, sometimes interesting news, but none of that matters compared to this news, the gospel, the momentous news of regime change that God has installed his King, Jesus. All of history is heading to his final rule, and all of us need to shape our lives around that. Let me read again, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, this news, for it is the power of God for salvation. That's all I want to look at this morning. And I want to draw our attention to three things that we learn in this verse. Answering the question, what is this gospel? First of all, it is momentous news about Jesus. Momentous news about Jesus. As we've said, gospel is not actually a religious word. We get all caught up in that and we think it's something to do with church. It's not to do with church at all. Gospel is a secular word that means momentous news. If, for example, Yevgeny Prigozhin succeeded in his coup to topple Vladimir Putin, that would have been a gospel news. CNN, ABC, Twitter, X, whatever it's called these days, all of it would be filled with that news going out into the world. It would have affected very, very acutely the Russian and Ukrainian people, but it also affects the whole world. Foreign policy, oil prices, gas prices, everything. However, the gospel of God, which is there pointed out by Paul in verse 1, is about something else. It is about Jesus. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. News about the Son of God. And Paul is taking us to this moment in world-changing history, a world which has been created by a loving God, a world which we know has rebelled against God, a world that has subsequently not been properly ruled, and instead of the rule of man properly under God, over the creation, instead the rule of sin and death and Satan. Of rebels, a humanity shaking our fists, our pathetic fists like ants at the Creator God and ruining his world. But God would not allow it to continue. And he designed an extraordinary plan, which we looked at last week, beginning just after the fall of man. Key points: the calling of Abraham, the establishment of Israel, the promise of a Messiah, the coming one day of a king, a true man, a son of God, who would put it all right and bring in a new kingdom where all that spoils this world is removed. And the peace and the love and the joy and the generosity and the fruitfulness of life for human beings would once again be established. Christ, in verse 4, means king. Lord, in verse 4, means universal ruler. The gospel is momentous news about Jesus Christ. And verse 4, it was about the one declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. After his conquering of sin work and paying for our judgment on the cross, God vindicated Jesus, raised him up, and he ascended, as we've just declared, into the heavenly places, one day soon to return to be the judge of the living and the dead, and to establish once and for all his perfect kingdom. That is what is happening today in the world. That is the news that all of us need to know. That is the news, and our response to that news that matters more than anything in this world. So again, our Vision 2030 is all about Jesus. We exist to glorify our great and gracious God by how? By knowing, loving, and proclaiming Jesus. It's all about him and the news of his rule. First point, the gospel is momentous news about Jesus. But secondly, did you notice, it is momentous saving news about Jesus. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." That's a word that has such religious connotations, but it is much more practical than that. All of us who have studied Romans, any of us who are familiar with the Christian gospel news about Jesus, know that there needs to be salvation because we need something to be saved from. And that saving isn't ourselves. It's being saved from God himself. The holiness of God, the coming wrath of God, the judgment of God. The God who's going to bring an end to this world and all that spoils it, to bring in finally his new creation. One of the thrills of my week is to do a small Bible study on the back of the Life course. We're now up to week 18, studying Mark's gospel with those who are investigating the Christian faith. And we've been thinking about this whole issue of sin, of our wrongdoing. And I set the members of the group this test that was once given to me. See if you can go for 24 hours without saying, thinking, or doing. Saying, thinking, or doing anything unkind, impure, or unjust. Saying, thinking, or doing anything unkind, impure, or unjust. I wonder if you would try that test yourself. And the answer is you can't. None of us can. As we've said from this pulpit before, we're like those lawn bowls, that veer off away from God and his ways by nature, ever since the fall. All of us imperfect, all of us flawed. And sometimes people say, "I wish that God would put an end to all the evil in this world." And of course, the answer is, if he did, he would put an end to you too. Because if God creates this new kingdom, this new world that isn't spoilt by sin and death and suffering, then our entry into it would spoil it if he did nothing about us. Which is why the gospel is a saving news about Jesus, because it involves not just judgment, but salvation for unworthy people. Do you see that key word, which is such an important Romans word, in verse 16? "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed." A holy and righteous God will not even look upon evil. He will not allow it into his presence. Each of us need a righteousness to enter into this new creation. And yet we're sinners. But on the cross, it's as if this happened. Me with my ragged cloak, all of my sins written in on it, all those times I've thought those things, or said those things, or failed to do. darkened, dirty, unworthy. And on the cross, Jesus comes up to me with his perfect, glistening, white robe of a life of perfect love for his Father, of a life of perfect love for all those around him, of a life of every word perfectly measured, every action wisely thought, every instinct, not for himself, though he deserved it, but for others. And he takes me by the shoulders, and he takes off my dirty cloak, and he takes on his perfect white cloak, puts it on me, and takes mine and puts it on him. And on the cross, he paid for my sin. He absorbed the wrath of God so that I am clean, perfect, righteous, so that the end time judgment of God in the court of God that everyone will face one day has come forward into the present for me. So that the judgment has fallen, not condemned, but righteous in his sight, irreversibly, because of Jesus. Something I receive not by my own doing, but as a gift. I can't contribute anything as a sinner, just my sin. And that is the wonder of the saving gospel. That way, people like me can enter. And it doesn't stop there. Romans chapter 8 has been such an interesting and helpful passage for me to study again this year as part of our small groups. And it speaks about us being restored to the glory of God. That's where we're heading, to the true image of God, to be kings and queens with God in a new creation, with the Son. I like listening to Narnia with my children in the car. It's that wonderful picture, isn't it, of Lucy and Edmund and Susan and Peter, who in this world are little children in care paravel. And Narnia, they are rulers. And that's where we're heading. People who have degenerated from the glory of God to be regenerated into his image, to be those who make this world sing again like a beautiful orchestra, taking up the conductor's baton for a world that has gone out of tune for eternity, forever and ever, after this short life. This is momentous news, this gospel, momentous saving news about Jesus. Momentous saving, may I say also, thirdly and finally, powerful news about Jesus. Momentous, saving, powerful news about Jesus. Another date for us, a little closer to home, the 28th of April, 1966. Lots of confusion on the face. Let me say that again. 28th of April, 1996. Any ideas? USSR, not quite. We're thinking Australia. Port Arthur, very sadly, Port Arthur, the time when over 30 people were slaughtered in a gun massacre down in Port Arthur in Tasmania by Martin Bryant. It's a moment which was etched into the history of Australia, and it caused significant impact in our country, and most especially it involved the declaration of an amnesty by our federal government, that anyone with illegal firearms of a certain power could hand those in to the government, no questions asked, before the law came in and such possession would be prosecuted. It was a time of amnesty. And that is the time in which we live now, the amnesty time, the time to turn back and receive the favorable verdict. Because the new kingdom is coming in. Jesus has been installed. We're actually in the last 2 minutes of overtime. The result is sure, and the time is ticking. Before Jesus returns and finally brings in his new kingdom. And why is there this time of amnesty? Because of the patience, kindness, and generosity of God. For rebels like us to give in our arms, to repent, which means to turn back, to trust, which means to receive this righteousness and be allowed to enter into that perfect kingdom. In the cosmic history, we are in the last few moments before the culmination of all things. And what is happening right now in the world is this gospel news going to the ends of the earth. Paul himself writing this letter to be a speaker of this gospel news, this news that Jesus is Lord. Turn and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins to enter into that new creation. That's what's happening. And that news is powerful. Do you see what Paul says? I am not ashamed of the gospel, this momentous news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Stop and think about that for just a moment. These words about Jesus, mere words which refer to a reality, are powerful to change eternities. Powerful to take somebody who is a rebel against God, create faith in their heart, and turn them from somebody who was facing hell for certain instead heaven. To take somebody who was unrighteous, ungodly, and be counted righteous in the sight of God. A word which is so powerful, it is able to change. But more than that, a word which is powerful to transform. The thief on the cross, that very moment, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Not a lot of time for him to be transformed. And he entered. But for others of us, God is on about a work in our lives, even through the suffering of this world. Romans chapter 8, taking us from that elevator of being chosen before the beginning of time, being justified when we heard the word of God, but through the word of God continually being transformed into finally the image of God being glorified. And how does it happen? It's through these words. Look with me again to the passage. Paul says, verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Or again, in verse 13, in order that I might reap some harvest among you. Strengthening the people in Rome, producing a harvest, that is the fruit of changed lives. How does it happen? Verse 15, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you. It is through the words of Jesus. It is through the book in front of you, which is the deep, deep underwater ballast behind the apex of those few words, Jesus is Lord. You see, every time we gather together in all of our meetings, it is about the word of God, the gospel, which culminates in Jesus is Lord, but has a depth which is extraordinary, filled out in the whole of the scriptures. And those words strengthen us individually to walk another day. Those words produce the harvest in us of fruitful lives. Those words shape and align our thinking so that we will live in line with this news. In our own families, in our own workplaces, in our own decisions for the future, as a body, as the church. You know, probably quite well now that one of my heroes is John Newton. John Newton, who was once a slave trader, but the gospel, the amazing grace, transformed him. And he was turned into a profound servant who, with William Wilberforce and others, turned this world around. I've been listening to a podcast about the impact of the Bible in India and the work of Henry Martin and William Carey. And it was traced back to that Clapham sect, people like John Newton himself and Wilberforce, who put an end to things like suti, the burning of wives, widows, along with their husbands. The changing of the slave trade, the improvement of the lives of people all over the world because of this word. Every time we gather, and in all of our lives, this word is powerful to change. And so as we think about our Vision 2030 here at St. Thomas's, all of it is subsumed by a much greater vision. The vision, the reality of this news going out across the world, conquering person after person, nation after nation. Islam conquers by the sword. Jesus conquers by his word and changes people in a way that is only possible by the Spirit of the Son.